Sean Combs, formerly known as Diddy, formerly known as Puff Daddy. They raided one of his homes in L.A. and one of his homes in Miami, I believe. The federal government doesn't normally do shit like that unless they got you. A bi-coastal synchronized raid on your homes, yeah, they coming for your neck. And there's people out here that's like, oh, why you celebrating another black man going miss me with that bullshit? We celebrate the villain going down. This dude is not a good person. I hate it when shit like this happens, when it's like, he did that shit. Which, I mean, what are we talking about? We gotta celebrate this evil nigga? Because he black? That's wild. Like, you could miss me with that shit. What about all the black people he fucked over? What about all the black people that signed shitty deals because of him? What about all the people that he sexually assaulted? What about those black people? Welcome back. We are back. We are back. BS with Brian Simpson. We were away for a little bit. We had a little shakeup. I had a lot of shit going on. The special's out. It's on Netflix. It's been in the top 10 for quite some time now. It's very good, I think. Could it be better? Sure. Sure. But it's been a long time coming. It's good. It's been well-received, I think, you know, because I never actively look for comments, but, you know, it's impossible to be on the internet without reading a comment, you know, every now and then. And I try to take the good with the bad. I mean, you know, the type of people that love it, you know, a lot of people love it. And the type of people that don't love it are exactly who you would think. So, you know, whatever. You can't please everyone. But like I said, it's been in the top 10 for a week now. The people have spoken. It might get knocked off by Dave Attell. Dave Attell shit just came out today. So, and it's very good. Hot Cross Buns, that's dope. Mine is Live from the Comedy Mothership. It's on Netflix. Brian Simpson, Live from the Comedy Mothership. Check it out. I'm also going to be on tour, you know, per usual. I'm coming everywhere this year. I'm going to be in, let me see here. I'm going to be the next place is West Jordan, Utah at Wise Guys. That's April 12th and 13th. And then the Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington, April 26th and 27th. Then the Netflix is a Joke Festival in Los Angeles from the 7th through the 10th. Then the Desert Ridge Improv. I don't know what fucking city that's in. That's what's on my calendar. Desert Ridge. I have to look that up. And then July, Comedy Works Denver. You know me. I love me some Comedy Works. And then July 25th, 26th, and 27th, the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, all those links are in my bio, so on my social medias, which is BS Comedian. Or you can go to BrianSimpsonComedy.com and click on there for my website. Why do people even still have websites? You know, I don't know. But yeah, it's really no huge real news lately. I mean, two things struck my eye when I woke up in the morning. And one of them is that Walmart is, well, people are kind of miswording it a bit just for sensationalism's sake. But they are, for all intents and purposes, trying to charge people for self-checkout. Now, we knew this was coming, guys. That, like, real-life brick-and-mortar companies are going to start acting like video game companies, where they go, let's just see what we get away with. You know? Because you know, what happened is Walmart introduced a self-checkout thinking it was going to save them money by not paying cashiers minimum wage. And then it ended up costing them more money from theft. You know? And so instead of just bringing back cashiers, they want to charge you money to make up the difference. They're calling it Walmart Plus I think it's three S's or two S's. Walmart Plus with two S's. And it's it comes out to, I think, $98 a year. Whatever that it breaks down to a month, it comes out to $98 a year for Walmart Plus. And I don't know what the other benefits of Walmart Plus are. But Walmart, you're dropping the ball, okay? Because it's way better to go with Amazon Prime. There's nothing you can buy at Walmart you can't buy at Amazon, and it'll be delivered to your house. Plus, you get all the TV shows and all that, and you don't have to go to Walmart, which is always a plus for me. I try to avoid going to Walmart unless it's an emergency. I don't like walking through the store. It just feels. I don't know how to explain it. I feel like I'm contributing to something evil, or so. That's not even really what it is. But look, I don't know if you ever walked. It's like the way it used to feel when you would walk through like an adult store, like one with, you know, where you go buy dildos and shit. But not just any adult store. One with the jerk off theater in the back. You know, you just know you're in the proximity. You're in the proximity of something you don't want to touch. It's nearby. It's right on the other side of this wall. There's cum everywhere. You know, it's like it's a similar feeling when I'm walking through Walmart. Like, I feel like there's something on the other side of the walls that I wouldn't approve of. I don't know how to explain it. And I know that's true of every store. You know, every store has walls and stuff in the back, but there's something about Walmarts. Especially like certain Walmarts in certain towns, certain small towns, where you're like, you walk in there, you're like, oh, they devastated this economy. Like, this is what's left. They locked in and soaked up everything. All the mom and pops are gone. And it's just Walmart and a McDonald's. You know, or McDonald's inside of a Walmart. Anyway, you know, you decide whether you want to pay Walmart to bag your own groceries. That's a whole nother level of corporate boldness. That's a whole nother level of boldness. I'm going to pay for the privilege of checking myself out. And the way they've been trying to force people into this is by closing some of the self-checkouts and only allowing people through if they got Walmart Plus. And obviously Walmart has the typical corporate response that makes no sense. You know, they're like, oh, no, we do that to control. We close down some of the self-checkouts to control theft. It's up to each store manager. It's different from different, I guess. Yeah, it's weird. They don't want to control that wage theft. Okay, look at you with your liberal talking points. Also, big news, Diddy, formerly known as, Sean Combs, formerly known as Diddy, formerly known as Puff Daddy. The FBI raided his homes. They raided one of his homes in L.A. and one of his homes in Miami, I believe, at the same time. Now, listen, you know, the federal government doesn't normally do shit like that unless they got you. You know, a bi-coastal synchronized raid on your homes, yeah, they coming for your neck. Because that means they had something, they had enough something to show to a judge that approved that. You know? What are they looking for? Who knows? Now, apparently, people are saying that a private jet with the same tail number as one owned by one Sean Diddy Combs fled the country to an island that doesn't have extradition. Now, that's not official. That's more rumor. You know, who the fuck knows where he at? You know, or maybe he played it smooth and just paid the pilot to fly there to distract, to make everybody think he was gone. You know, who the fuck knows? But if he was on that flight, he's definitely guilty of something. Or maybe he isn't. I don't know. Because normally in a situation like this, I would say reserve judgment till you have all the facts. You know what I mean? But with Diddy, so many people that have worked for Diddy or been signed by Diddy or have been around Diddy have alluded to a lot of these things over the years. It's people now that still won't directly say his name connected to other shit. They sort of hint and innuendo and all of this. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, and there's people out here that's like, oh, why you celebrating another black man going to miss me with that bullshit? We celebrate the villain going down. This dude is not a good person. You know what I mean? Because I hate it when shit like this happens, when it's like, he did that shit. Which I mean, what are we talking about? We gotta celebrate this evil nigga? Because he black? That's wild. Like, you could miss me with that shit. What about all the black people he fucked over? What about all the black people that signed shitty deals because of him? What about all the people that he sexually assaulted? What about all those black people? You know what I mean? Like, you act like because he's one of the few black billionaires that you gotta treat him like a hero. You know? Two things would be true. He was a shrewd businessman that accomplished a lot in business, and he was sex trafficking people. You know what I mean? I got no feelings for him, just like I got no feelings for Epstein. You know? Except Diddy don't need a list. You know, Diddy don't have a list. But, you know, this all traces back to, you know, I don't remember how long ago it was, but sometime in the last year, another woman, and I forget her name, because I'm never prepared. Another woman, she sued Diddy for, you know, all manner of things, sexual assault and all these other things. Well, at first she tried to extort him. First she said, pay me or I'm going public with this shit. And he was like, fuck you, bitch. She'd written a book. She'd written a book and was like, pay me or I'm putting this book out. You know, or pay me to not put the book out, whatever. And he didn't. And then she, I'm getting the facts wrong. She was suing him. And he settled that suit real quick. But it was too late then. Now, at first he told her to fuck off. She threatened a lawsuit. He told her to fuck off. And then I guess in them depositions, man, he saw what she had and paid her like $20 million or something crazy like that. And then that opened the floodgates. You know, the guys, this is the way payoffs work. It's like, listen, if you know somebody got dirt on you and they threaten you and you gonna pay them. You're a billionaire. Pay them, have them killed, whatever. But like, you can't. I think that's a result of just getting away with something for so long. You feel like you're untouchable, and we all know that's what's brought down almost everyone. You know, they get away with it for so long, they start being sloppy, they start thinking they can't be touched. Boom, boom, boom. They catching up with your ass, and now the federal government is all over your ass. You know, and they don't fuck around. They don't fuck around. That's why it's much, much, much better to be rich and unknown. Especially if you're doing criminal shit. It's much, much, much better to be rich and have nobody fucking know you. Because I tell you what, the federal government is not good at a lot of things. But like federal law enforcement, though, once they know your name, it's a wrap. If they want you, they getting you. Because whether or not you get caught all depends on how much resources they willing to dedicate to catching you. You know what I mean? And I don't think we've yet to see the federal government go all out, except maybe for like Osama bin Laden. And they been knew where he was. It was just some political shit with Pakistan and whether we would cross into their territory and all this. But we been knew where he was. But I think we had to act like we didn't know for sure or whatever the fuck, but they knew where he was. You know, because that's, you know, once they want, if they really want you, they coming for your ass. You know, especially in America. Like, if you in America, if you in the United States proper, and the federal government wants you, and they know your name, it's a wrap. If they really, really want you, and not just federal, local, state, all that. When they decide we're gonna dedicate everything, like I remember that Christopher Dorner guy. This was years ago. In Los Angeles, a cop like flipped out, lost his mind, and he had a whole manifesto about the corruption at LAPD and all this other stuff, and he killed he unalived a cop and his daughter, I think, and then they were like, oh, and then he fled, you know what I mean? And they got his ass. They caught his ass in Big Bear. They burned a cabin down. He was inside. Well, they say it was an accident. They killed that nigga. But my point is, you know, if you robbed a bank in Los Angeles, like if let me get a bit of, if you robbed a Wendy's in Los Angeles and fled to Big Bear, they would never catch you. Because they putting two cops on it. That ain't going to Big Bear. And unless you drop some significant evidence on your trail, it's a wrap. You understand what I'm saying? But if you shoot a cop and flee to Nevada, they gonna catch your ass. Because it's all hands on deck. Every clue, now the LAPD was not very good at it. They were shooting at wrong people and vehicles that didn't even match the description and people that didn't match the description, all the way down to San Diego. Because I was in San Diego when this happened. So this had to be before 2015, 2014, something like that. And they were responding to tips that motherfuckers was in, you know, in the mall in San Diego. You know, like, so, you know, if they really want to catch you, like, if they searching the city for you, they getting your ass. Just recently, a dude broke out of prison in Philadelphia. And this dumbass nigga went back to his old neighborhood. They caught him quick. Like, I don't even understand how you have the cleverness and wherewithal to break out of prison or break out of jail. I forget which one he was in. But you're not smart enough not to go literally where they're going to be looking for you first. That's wild. You got to get the fuck out of Philadelphia. You got to get out of Pennsylvania. You feel me? Like, you a fugitive, sir. You're a fugitive. I think they caught him at his baby mama house. You're not smart. You're an idiot. Somebody must have broke you out of prison. Like, I don't know how you came up with that plan and then went. I mean, you know, that's easy for me to talk like that. But it's like, where else you gonna go? You don't have no money. You know, I think they caught him a few days later. It was a tip. Somebody saw him. It's like, yo, yeah, slide by the crib, get your shit together, get some clothes, get some money, and get the fuck out of there immediately. You got to get out of the state. You know, if you steal a car, that's gonna be hot. You know, if you jack a car, that's gonna be hot. But steal a car that's parked somewhere and get the fuck out of Pennsylvania, and then steal another car and get the fuck out of there. Keep going till you hit the ocean. Get at, like, you know, again, easier said than done, but definitely don't hang out in your old hood. Like, what? You think motherfuckers, see, this is what kills me about certain people is, I don't know why the average person thinks, I don't know why the average person thinks that they have to adhere to this, this La Costa Nostra, you know, no rats world. And then I don't know why motherfuckers think that all the people that talk like that actually live like that. Because 99% of them don't. Nobody, it ain't no G-code, nigga. It's a reward for you. And somebody gonna cash in. Multiple people probably try to turn your ass in. You know? So you can't count on that. Half the motherfuckers in prison now is in prison because somebody's told on them. I don't owe you that. I've always felt this way. Unless we did a crime together, I don't owe you silence. You know what I mean? If I'm the victim of a crime that you perpetrated, fuck you. It's like, oh, he broke in your house and he shot your dog. Yeah, but I ain't no snitch. Nigga, I'm snitching. I'm telling on everybody. I'm not letting it slide. So I can have some street cred? Fuck out of there. I don't need street cred because I'm not in the streets. That's how I feel. That's how I've always felt. Here's an interesting article. Wow, I didn't have a chance to go over this. Psychopathic men have more children, study finds. A new study examined the link between psychopathic traits and number of children in the community, sample of men and women. That's wild, because Diddy has like 9 kids. Finding that prototypical psychopathy was associated with having more children among men, but not women. This research was research on psychopathy from an evolutionary perspective suggested it may be a strategy for higher offspring production at the cost of lower parental investment. But findings are inconsistent. Men with pronounced psychopathic traits often have more children, yet some studies point to fewer offspring in such individuals, particularly among non-criminal adults and women. Okay, well then what the fuck are they saying then? I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a dud. I don't think there's anything in there. You know, because why? If some studies show, looky here, speaking of Diddy, near 200 names linked to Jeffrey Epstein expected to be made public. List could be released as soon as Tuesday after deadline for objections to unsealing names passes midnight Monday. Oh, wait a minute, that was in January. Yeah, so look, from what I understand, I don't think the Epstein list is actually like a list that he kept. You know what I mean? I think this is just some of the victims that were at the parties recalling who was there. I could be wrong about that. But I don't think this is like the flight logs with people's real names on them. I don't know if they even have those still. But let's see. Nearly 200 names connected to Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, sex trafficking, could be released by a New York judge as soon as Tuesday. Yeah, but did this happen? This article was in January. I think they released the list, but they had certain names redacted for whatever reason. You know why. Yeah, I mean, who fucking knows? Epstein's dead. Ghislaine is not dead, but who knows? Nobody's seen her. She's like Kate Middleton or whoever the Prince of England, whoever his wife is, or King of England. Who knows? But it's been a long time. I don't want to get caught up in the articles. I'm going to answer a lot of these emails. A lot of them are just like, what happened to the pod? Is the pod dead? Are you dead? Nope, not dead. I'm alive. Pod's not dead. So, man, I have to sort through some of these. And I'm not sure exactly when we stopped. So let's go. Let's go to this from February 28. Damn. Okay, here we go. Oh, March 19th. Can't wait to watch the special. Can't wait to watch that shit when I get up in the morning. Well, thank you, Cameron. Appreciate you, bro. Hey, Brian, just wanted to say love the special. I was laughing my ass off. Also, fuck Netflix and their unnecessary subtitles. I heard that jab at them in your set despite their bullshit nepotism subtitle. also loved you roasting the fuck out of been missing the podcast, but I appreciate the opportunity to catch up on old episodes. Hope you and the crew are all prosperous, and I can't wait to catch you again when you're in Chicago. Well, thanks, Brendan. Appreciate you. So if people that watch the special earlier, yeah, for whatever reason, there were just random subtitles that would pop up every now and then, even if you had subtitles off, and then it was like wrong spelling and some other shit. And you know, I reported it to them, and they claim that it was all removed. So, go back and check again. Go back and look again and see if it's gone again, you know. See if they're there. Oh, you don't know. You might have to watch the whole thing again. I don't know. All right. This is from spent 6 hours with you on a trip to West L.A. VA hospital. Huh. Who is this? Spent 6 hours with you on a trip to West L.A. VA hospital. I believe you are the same person. I only saw a side of your face. So why were we together for 6 hours? Was it on a bus, on a train? Because that seems like a lot of time. But I have gone to the West L.A. VA hospital back in the day. Anyhow, hope this is the same person. You sounded like him. I like your perspective of your jokes and circumstances. People are so afraid to express the stupidity of our world. Remember, I lived in the Dominican Republic for 7 years. I don't remember that, but I believe you. You spoke about your children and filled me with hope for our future. I don't have kids. The problem is things don't look good. You spoke of your two boys, and so did I, but one is dead. The other is a nurse in the Palm Desert area of California. I am now in Nevada. You are a good man, Brian. Maybe a few bumps in the road, but the major work was done well. I wrote a book about a woman who saves the world and used all the things we talked about in different chapters about how to reconfigure the mess we enjoy daily. Ha ha. Caps are to compensate for low vision. Okay. I don't think I'm this person, man. I appreciate all that, but I definitely don't have two boys. And I don't think I've ever taken a 6 hour trip to the West LA VA hospital. I've definitely taken several too long trips, no more than 3 or 4 hours. But that's because the L.A. public transit is, you know, not good. But I appreciate you reaching out either way. More of this is what I hope this email finds you well. Just curious if you guys have plans to produce more episodes. Last episode was from January 5th. I'm sure Brian is busy with the upcoming special touring and other projects, but just wanted to make sure we would not be deprived of the advice champ much longer. Hope to catch BS. Nope, we back, baby. We back. And I'm glad you said January, because now I know where to go back to. There it was, January 6th. Johnny Walsh. I was wondering if you stopped the podcast indefinitely. No, I have not. Okay, here's some advice. Advice on stand-up stage fright. Hey, Brian and Rob. I just started to watch your podcast after watching your episode on I Think We Might Be Drunk with Sam Merle and Mark Norman. You were brilliant on it, so I looked you up and was hoping to bug you with a comedy-related query. I have an addiction to comedy and everything that is comedy-related. I grew up in Ireland living in a household that was overcrowded with undiscovered comedians, which might have rubbed off on me. Over the years, as the house emptied out, the in-person comics were replaced by on-screen comics. I consumed more and more and haven't let up in 2 decades, give or take. I now live in Vancouver, Canada, and about a year ago bumped into a friend I hadn't seen in a while at a comedy show he was performing, and after his set, we caught up a bit. He eventually told me that I should give stand-up a try. He would be able to get me a few 5-7 minute slots in front of 30 to 40 and thought I'd be a natural at it. The idea alone, while exciting, struck fear to my core, but it stayed with me. Since then, I filled up a couple notepads with bits, read books on the subject and comedy-adjacent subjects, listened to my Comedy Idols podcast, been to comedy shows, and countless open mics. But every time I picture myself on stage, it feels as if I'm about to black out. Can you give me any advice on how to overcome this fear so I can try to make strangers laugh? No. You mean, can I tell you how to be brave? No. You just got to do it. Every single person that you think is hilarious has had to take that step. You know, for months when I started comedy, I would wear black pants so you couldn't tell my leg was shaking. You know, it's the stage fright is part of it because you don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? It's just that simple. what I would advise is that the first time, and no one ever listens to me, I don't know why, but don't bring people you know. Don't invite them to your first show. It's exciting, and you nothing good comes from that. You know, maybe with the exception of your friend that's already a stand-up, go do mics to get better. Don't subject your friends and family to you sucking at comedy, because you will suck. You know, you have to get your chops. You got to get your, you know, you got to go up till you're comfortable on stage. It's not going to be instant. What gave me the confidence to finally do it was actually seeing a show that sucked. I mean, because that's the thing, is like, most comics suck. Most comics are not good. You know, and you're probably somewhere above the bottom. And so that's all it's going to take, is for you to see a handful of people that aren't funny, and you're like, well, I can't do worse than that, and they're here, and people still treat them with respect. So, you know, but there's nothing I can do to push you. You know, and I'm not judging you. It took me years to have the bravery to do it. I wrote my first joke 10 years before. Well, that's not true. It wasn't 10 years. But it was, let me see. I got out in 07. So 5 years. I wrote my first joke 5 years before I ever tried an open mic. You know? And so, you know, and that's my only regret, is that it took me so long to give it a shot. Yeah, you know. But like I said, the nightmare you're creating in your head is much worse than the reality could possibly be. If you bomb, you bomb. Everybody bombs. And you're probably going to not do that good. You might get a chuckle or two. You never know. I don't know how good your jokers are, how good your joke writing is. But if if you're funny, you're funny. And you'll figure it out. But, and I know that doesn't feel helpful, but it's the reason why that's always the advice you get, is to just do it. It will make sense to you when you start doing it. The reason why I can't really be more specific than that, you know, is because nobody could tell you how to be yourself. Nobody could tell you how to make art. It's not commissioned, you know what I mean? It's like art is just honest self-expression. So how can somebody tell you how to express yourself? You know? Because first you got to find what's funny to you and all of that. You got to learn who you are before you really know what's funny to you. And that evolves and changes, and, you know. But at some point, you just have to have the balls to do it. Practice in the mirror. Talk to yourself. But at some point, there's no way around it. That's what I love about comedy. You can't cheat it. You can't, you know, there's no class you could take. There's no, like, you have to perform live. That's how you practice comedy. You need an audience. You have to risk embarrassment. You have to risk rejection. You know, and there's no way around that whatsoever. At least not yet. Maybe someday you'll be able to have an AI audience or some shit, which you can practice in front of. But for now, stand-up is pure in that way, that you... It doesn't matter how many people like you. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. It doesn't matter how many popular. Now, that will determine how many people come to check you out. But that's not going to make people laugh. You know what I mean? Or you know, you could be some industry plant or whatever, and you could be doing pretty good. But it's like, but when a real comic goes up after you, people know. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, people go, oh, I love Five Guys Burger or Burger King or whatever. Oh, it's the best. I eat it every day. And then it's like, and then one day somebody puts a damn, you know, somebody puts a damn perfectly seared A5 Wagyu slider in front of you, and you go, oh, well, this is a different thing. You know what I mean? Like, people will accept regular. People will accept above average. You know, I think Five Guys is above average, but you know what I'm trying to say. But everybody loved the good shit. Everybody loves the good shit. And that's just what it is. So I guess I didn't even really answer your question. That was more of a rant. But yeah, you just got to grow a pair, bro. Just suffer through it. Eat your veggies. Okay, life advice. Hi, Brian, a.k.a. The Advice Champ. I'm 25 from Melbourne, Australia, and have been working as a civil engineer since graduating from university for just over a year now. I've already had two different engineering jobs, and now that it isn't for me long term, I can't stand the monotony of sitting at a desk all day coupled with the corporate bullshit. Oh, Lord knows I feel you there, boy. I feel you there, buddy. I was trying to make it as an athlete growing up and only really picked engineering as a career because I was good at math and physics and never really gave it much thought as I was pursuing my dream of being a professional athlete. I want to reinvent myself with a new career, but don't know what I'm really passionate about and am struggling to find purpose and meaning in alternative career options. I, like you, have ADD, and I find it extremely difficult to force myself to do things I don't fully believe in and I'm not passionate about. Hey, man, you speaking. Yeah, yeah, you, all facts. I was feeling exactly like this with my last great corporate job. That's the thing. I've never had a corporate job that was terrible. I just didn't care. And so it felt like I was dragging myself there every day. And I know people are like, in general, like, yeah, fuck my job or whatever. But I'm like, but it's more than that. It's like the amount of myself I had to pour into just showing up. It was just unbelievable. Anyway, I have a million different hobbies, so distractions come easy. I'm considering returning to university to become a high school teacher so I can teach subjects that align with some of my hobbies, notably history and physics. Or is this just a temporary solution to my dilemma? My girlfriend thinks me not wanting to stay in my career and not care about money is selfish and not prioritizing our relationship, which I don't agree with. Is she right? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Love the show, John. Well, John, I'm sorry about getting back to you so late. This was February 11th. But, you know, I don't know. It depends on what y'all's agreement is because I feel this 1,000%. And I don't think that it's hard for people that don't suffer from ADD or which is usually coupled by some kind of mild depression. And it's real hard to separate the two. I think it's usually some other thing too. It's ADHD plus depression or ADHD plus anxiety or something like that. Your emotions are all out of whack. And I think it's like I've tried it because I also have major depressive disorder. And it's so difficult to explain that to people that don't suffer from it, you know, because people go, oh, everybody gets depressed. And like they don't understand like the disorder part. You know what I mean? Being depressed is natural. It happens to most people every now and then. But having a disorder where it just happens randomly out of the blue is it can be devastating and deeply, and the ADD along with that makes it so impossible to do anything. Those are two disorders that take away all your motivation, you know? And anyway, my point is, so for someone that doesn't suffer from such a thing or they didn't grow up with someone that suffered from it, it's hard for them to really wrap their head around that you value your peace over money. You know? It's especially hard. Man, this is going to go down a whole rabbit hole. But I think a lot of times women have a hard time with men's emotions. You understand what I'm saying? Like they see how men feel as secondary to the objective. You know, they want you to prioritize their feelings, but they want to live as though you don't have any. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm sure if your girlfriend came to you and was like, I can't handle work. I break down crying, every day at lunch. She would expect you to be sympathetic. You know what I mean? So, but again, I don't know what y'all's dynamic is. I don't know if that means, because this is another thing. You know, obviously you haven't quit your job, but if you, if it would put an unnecessary financial burden on her with you quitting your job, then I can see how she would have a problem with you not following your career or whatever. Or if you already got kids. See, if you got kids, it's a wrap. You can just kind of suffer. You got to suffer. But that's what I'm trying to say. Men are expected to suffer for the family, you know. But I don't know if y'all have a family. If y'all don't have a family, then fuck what she talk about. You know, that's, you know, it's very selfish. But I think sometimes, man, you have to be selfish to take care of yourself. You know what I mean? It's just that simple. Like I'm 41 years old and I'm just now mastering saying no. Like no. I'm not gonna be comfortable, you know? I'm not going into those situations where I'm not gonna be comfortable. I'm not gonna overwhelm myself and put all this extra shit on my plate to please other people. You know what I mean? I don't do more than two things every day that's not for me. That's what I try. I try to keep it that way. You know what I mean? No more than two meetings. Like, I'm doing this podcast. I got one meeting. Besides stand-up, this is all I'm doing today. You know, that's not for me. I got to run in a bank and all these other things. But those are all things for me. But what I'm saying, I'm not letting nobody else put extra shit on my plate because I can't handle it. And what happens for me is something suffers. When I try to do a million things, none of them are done well. You know, when I can lock in on one thing, I do it excellent. But it's got to be something I give a fuck about. You know, and to be doing a task every day that's not fulfilling, it's not going to be good for you mentally. It's going to start to affect your physical health as well. You know, it's going to start fucking with your sleep. You know, it's going to start fucking with your energy levels, all of that. I don't know how lucrative your career in, what was it, physics is going to be. I don't think that's very lucrative. I don't see why you can't switch. Also, if you're a school teacher in the right place, that pays a grip. You know, teaching might be suited for that. I don't know if you got to go back to school for that, though. You got to get, like, extra certifications and some more shit. But nah, man, do what fulfill you. Fuck all that. Like, as long as, I mean, there is a compromise, I think. You know, as long as the change you make isn't going to put y'all in a poorhouse. You know, because I wish I could do these live because I got so many more questions. Cause the selfish bastard in me wants to be like, fuck what she talking about completely. But she could have a point depending on y'all's dynamic. That's what I'm trying to say. But at the same time, you know, I think you got to reemphasize to her how much you need, like how much you can't do this forever. Like, cause maybe she's looking at your career like, oh, well, if you stick with it, eventually you'll be making X dollars. You know, but what she doesn't get is you're gonna self destruct. You know, like eventually it's this tension that's building up, and something got to give eventually, and then it ain't gonna matter how much fucking money you're making if you have a fucking nervous breakdown. So, I hope that helps. Okay, from Corey, hey Brian, just a fan of your comedy and podcast. Hope to hear new episodes soon. And stand up. Hope all is well. We miss you, man. Thank you, Corey. Let's do. I got time for one more, maybe two more. Let me see. Hey, BS. Just came across your podcast, and it was very informative and useful. And it can be incredible if it could be available in short bits for your potential viewers, and we are here to make it happen. Oh, this is somebody trying to get me to hire them. Yeah, I might do that. We are. Okay. I might fuck with y'all, but maybe not. We'll see. Okay, so all the rest of these are after the special, okay? Imani, BS, what's good, brother? Just watched your Netflix special and was dying laughing the whole time. I'm so upset. This is the first time I've seen you. You are a pure genius. I just wanted to let you know that I don't understand why Netflix felt the need to put subtitles. Yeah. I'm going to check your schedule and see when you're in Chicago. If so, look forward to supporting you over purchasing a ticket. Well, thank you, Shy. I'm coming back sometime this year. I like Chicago. All right. I think, wait a minute, we might got one more. I think that was all of them that, okay. Hello, has the podcast moved or is this an impromptu hiatus? All the best, a loyal listener. It was just an impromptu hiatus. We had a lot of things going on. Rob is not on the pod moving forward. No falling out or nothing like that. But just life happens. You know what I mean? And then the special was coming out, and I didn't have time to find another producer in that time because I was doing all the working on with that and doing all the promo and all of that stuff. And it was just easier to just not do one, you know, in that time. But we are back, you know. And I'm still in the process of redoing the infrastructure because Rob basically did everything for me. Like, he did everything. All I had to do was show up and talk. And so it's tough to find one person that can replace that. But, you know, we're still in the opening stages of figuring it out of how to do it with multiple people. We will get there. But we never stopping. I told you that before. I'm never going to stop doing the podcast. I'm not going to stop doing a podcast. I might stop doing this one, maybe, if I, you know. But like I said, we in it for the long haul. Any more life advice? Cameron says, you good. I've been looking out for the pod and ain't seen it. Yep, I'm back, baby. Oh, wait a minute, did I do this one? Yeah, I think that's all of them. I think that's all the ones that I will read. Yeah. So we're back. It's official. I don't know how long. I don't know if it's going to catch on. Apparently people are saying No Diddy now instead of No Homo. Which I always thought No Homo was kind of silly, or Pause was kind of silly. But No Diddy's funny. but I think, I feel like No Diddy, because if you're saying No Diddy to mean No Homo, I think you're wasting No Diddy. No Diddy should mean like if you accidentally say something like pedophilic, you know what I mean? I don't know how to, but you know, like cute kids, they see a cute kid, they're like, oh, I could just eat him up. No Diddy. You know what I mean? That feels more accurate. You know, like if you accidentally say something sex trafficky, I could, girl, you so fine, I could just fly you to Dubai and cut you off from your family and resources. No Diddy. Something like that. Okay, guys, that's going to be this episode. Please, 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 again, if you like the pod, please like, subscribe, share. Go watch the special on Netflix. That's how you really support me. Go watch that motherfucking special, because the longer we stay in the top 10, the more I can go back to Netflix and be like, I need the whole bag. I need stock options if you want the next one. So many people are tuning into this motherfucker. I need points on the company, you know? Or at the very least, it'll make more people see it and make more people watch it. If you can go watch the special, watch it twice. Watch it thrice. you know, keep me on that front page, have more people discover me. And that's what puts me in a position where I can do this kind of stuff. All right. That's been our episode. Like I said, like, share, subscribe, and I'll see y'all next week.